RNZ National. It's Friday afternoon and time to catch up with Doc's Nicola Tookie, who's standing by ready to introduce us to another New Zealand native species. Hello there.
Hello, how are you?
Good. You've been travelling around again this week?
Yes. This week I have nothing as exciting as the previous week, but this week I have been in what I occasionally fondly describe as a miasma of meetings.
Nicola's being very humble. She hasn't mentioned on this show that she has a fancy pants new job she's doing. She's basically running the South Island.
I think at least three of my colleagues might take issue with that, but yes, you're right. I am currently temporarily director of operations for the Eastern South Island. So, you know, I guess that's through the Southern Alps down to the Waitaki and up to nearly Kaikoura.
How did you blag your way into that position?
I don't know.
What you're really like. We know you don't like meetings. We know you avoid responsibility and just like to have a laugh. And yet somehow you've got this job right at the top brass.
Do you know what I think did it? So you're right, I don't particularly like meetings. Particularly, you know, those meetings where you have a meeting and the outcome of the meeting is to have another meeting. And just, you know, meetings with a purpose I can almost cope with. But one thing people don't know about me maybe is, except for definitely my husband, is while I do like to have a laugh, I am what he describes as rulesy.
Oh, yeah.
So I do really enjoy the opportunity to be kind of at the cutting edge of, you know, what decisions are we going to make here and how do we support staff over there. And so I think there's something like over the summer period up to 200 staff that I'm looking after.
Incredible.
So that's busy. And I love it. We're really, really lucky. We've got a great team working for the department. And it's a pretty, it's a pretty exciting time to be involved in conservation. We've got lots of funding that's come in and we're busy out there implementing it. So
one day you're going to be Director General of DOC and you're not going to remember us little people. And I'll say, hey, tell us about a critter. And you'll say, well, in terms of the strategic direction of the department, we're looking at a way forward to... Nah, you never would you?
So, no, but also I'm now going to be in a lot of trouble because the one person who listens to Critter every week is the Director General, and he's now going to be asking me questions about my career aspirations. That's okay, Lou.
Who I should point out is quite intrepid. I mean, I met him at a black tie dinner in Queenstown, but that day I think he'd been out in his shorts trampling through the bracken.
Yeah, he walks the walk more than anyone in that position I could. So a friend of mine told me a great story, and he does it all in the weekends. So in his weekends, he's just out tearing around out in the nature, climbing mountains and skiing. And someone said they were in a hut once, and it was pouring with rain. It was starting to get towards dusk, and this sort of hut door flung open, and this guy came in and sort of old shorts and started cooking a tin of spaghetti, and it was the DG.
Oh,
it was Lou having
good.
A great time. But in amongst my time in Wellington, of course, you get to see beautiful wildlife because the plethora of kaka, for example, and tui and all that kind of stuff are there. And if you want to, I'm very excited about this. Toby Morris, who's that wonderful cartoonist who does the side-eye cartoon, has done a story about all the trappers in Wellington, and there's even a comic of me.
So hang on, there's a cartoon of you where?
On the spin-off website. So Toby Morris is a wonderful, wonderful graphic artist, and he runs these sort of social commentary cartoons called The Side Eye, and he's done one called The Trap Life. Now, to be fair, it's not about me at all. It's about Pole Hill community primarily and the Wellington community generally. And Paul Stanley Ward features in it talking about what they've been able to achieve with all their crazy trapping. But there is a tiny little cartoon of me, and so that's it. I can retire.
I'm looking it up. Stand by. There's a guy with a beard. There's a Kia, and
keep scrolling.
Scroll.
Obvious. It's the only
Is
khaki
it?
Person in there.
Oh, Nicola, and you've got blinky eyes.
That's right.
Oh, that is the best. That is so
That's
good.
Awesome.
I hope you're going to, you know, do something with that.
I must ask Toby actually to sign one. I'll print it out and get him to sign one or something for me because it's pretty cool. It's pretty exciting.
On to this week's critter, Nicola, the shining cuckoo.
Yes, the shining cuckoo, or Pipifaroroa. Hang on, I always get this wrong. Pipifaroroa. Oh, that's right. So shining cuckoo is a beautiful bird. You may not see it very often, but you will certainly hear it. It is this beautiful, shiny, very kind of iridescent greeny blue, and then it has stripes on its tummy like a zebra. So it comes over to New Zealand in summer. So if you are familiar with the shining cuckoo call, which I'm sure you're going to play, you will have heard it. You will have heard it while you're out and about. And the New Zealand subspecies breeds only here, including the Chathams. And this is where the story just starts to get a little bit more macabre, if you like, because the shining cuckoo is what we call a brood parasite. So, you know, the cuckoo family have cottoned on. They're not particularly great parents. They're not really interested in being parents. And so they don't build a nest and they don't raise their own young. What the shining cuckoo does is it sneaks its egg into the grey warbler's nest. The grey warblers have co-evolved, though, so they usually have raised one clutch at least of their own chicks. And then just as the shining cuckoos arrive, they are nesting again. And then the cuckoo chick basically hatches out and is raised by the grey warblers.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's pretty impressive. And so what happens is the cuckoo egg hatches first, and then when it's only a few days old and it can barely raise its own head, it turfs out the other eggs, or if any have hatched, the chicks just biffs them out the side of the nest.
That's outrageous. I mean, sure, borrow someone else's parents, but don't be like booting the siblings out.
Yeah, I know. It's it is rather an amazing survival strategy or reproductive strategy, though, because basically then the cuckoo parents poon around having a great time in summer eating insects, and then they just fly back to the Pacific for winter. And meanwhile, the grey warblers raise this enormous chick, and then eventually it starts its own life kind of ungratefully.
And do the grey warblers suspect anything, do you think?
Well, potentially they do, only because they have worked out that they have at least one clutch before the cuckoo arrives and kind of takes over. And they also make a nest that is essentially hanging, and it's like a globe with a tiny little entrance. So, you know, it's it makes it hard for the cuckoo, the adult cuckoo, to get in. But they think that what the cuckoo does is actually lays its egg, picks it up in its beak, and then plonks it in through the hole because it can't possibly fit. It'll end up in a sort of Winnie the Pooh situation.
Yeah, very clever.
It's really clever.
Clever slash devious.
Clever slash, yeah, kind of awful. I mean, you know, we've probably all, you know, met people that potentially, you know the people who like constantly just, you know, you end up minding their kids for just weeks at a time and they've gone to Rarotonga or something.
You mentioned that they have quite a distinctive call. Could you give us your version of it, please?
Sure. I can't recall if this is a shining cuckoo or a long-tailed cuckoo, but I think this is a shining cuckoo. So it goes like this. How's that?
That's very, very good. I don't even know if we need to bother playing the original, but look, here it is anyway for anyone who's interested. I think that might be your best bird call yet, Nicola Tookie.
I've been feeling a bit embarrassed about my bird calls, to be honest. So I'm quite glad to have knocked that one off.
Is that how you get a promotion at Doc? They sit you down in the interview room and they go, right, now do a shining cuckoo. And if you do it right, you get the job.
Yeah, something like that. I also realised that part of the other reason that I have ended up with this role, I think, is I used to be a lifeguard in my university and high school holidays. And that, you know, being a lifeguard, having that ability, well, that authority to kick kids out of the pool and, no running. My brother, who he and I were spending lots of time at the local pool at the time, said it was the worst thing that could ever have happened to me, was me getting a whistle. So
Yeah, and now you've got a big whistle at Doc. Hey, can I just mention two things? One is that this was suggested to us by a listener, wasn't it?
yes, it was. In fact, we do get quite a lot of suggestions now, don't we, from listeners. And I think they picked a good one.
This is Barbara Zuzuri, and she also mentioned there's a beautiful waiata about it by Helene Melbourne. In fact, maybe I'll play a little bit of that after our interview. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. I am a huge fan of Hidini Melbourne. I mean, it was incredibly prolific, and it is a beautiful waiata. And there are a couple of waiata actually that you can hear that reflect the song of the cuckoo if you've got your ear on
Yeah.
properly. But yeah, they're a neat part of our environment for the time that they're here. And as long as we are protecting those forests back in the Solomon Islands where they're coming from, I suspect we'll continue to hear that distinctive call for many years to come.
Okay, the hoo-hoo grub last week got a 3 out of 10. How are you going to rate the attractiveness of the shining cuckoo, Nicola?
I'm going to rate it pretty highly because about 10 years ago, I saw one in my garden around Christmas time. Might have even been on Christmas Day. It was in a silk tree, and I just caught this sort of flash of bluey green. Like, what the heck's that? And it just sat there for a little while, and I was only a couple of meters away from it, and I fell a little bit in love with it. So I think it's at least a 7, isn't it?
Yeah, I would have said an 8 or a 9 probably, compared to the usual ghastly creatures, ghastly looking creatures we have on this show.
Right, let's bump it to an 8.
Okay, great. Nice to chat to you. Thanks. Enjoy your week, big boss.
See you, Jesse. Thanks.